We're in Ecclesiastes, and but I want everyone to go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and we're just going to kind of pick up where we left off last week, because Solomon in Ecclesiastes, and we were in Ecclesiastes chapter or verse 8, right? I think it was 8, 9, and let me pick up here. Or I'm sorry, 12. We were in Ecclesiastes 1:12, where he says he was the preacher and that he is in search of wisdom. Well, we went to Proverbs chapter 8 because Solomon wrote Proverbs 1-8, and it's all about wisdom. He puts in there wisdom and the things that trip you up, and how you need to avoid getting tripped up, how you need to avoid getting caught in things that you shouldn't be in. And of course, last week we talked about the relationship with in chapter 7 with the harlot, right? And how the harlot wooed the guy into his death. And of course, that's just a picture of Satan and how Satan draws us in if he can, and then he trips us up. And when he trips us up, it's all about taking us down and taking us out. Amen. Because a lot of times what people don't realize, and Christians today, I'm just, I tell you what, I don't know that I've ever seen a sadder day for America when I talk about Christians, in the respects that, and of course, nobody in here, I already know that. Everybody in here is perfect. And so just know I'm referencing everybody outside the walls, right? And I'm going to use a term that is going to offend probably the multitude, but just hang on and ride with me. And if you're visiting with me, you'll notice I have a tendency to offend people. But it's okay. I still love you, and I just want to point that out in the beginning. One of the things that shocked me about today is the gutless Christian. Just how they just... When you talk about Jesus, they draw back. They're like quiet. Like all of a sudden, we have to either be ashamed or we can't. If I talk about Jesus, it'll cost me my job. If I talk about Jesus, it'll cost me a relationship. If I talk about Jesus, it'll cost me this or it'll cost me that. And so today, the Christians are going quiet, and they're just not exercising the wisdom of God, because I don't know that Christians today trust God. And I don't know that they trust God because they don't know God. They don't know God because they don't spend time with God. They don't spend time with God, so therefore, they don't. It's just the relationship just kind of, you know how you've always heard distance makes the heart grow fonder? That's a lie. It does for the first week or two or month, and then after that, everybody goes on about their life. Yes. I mean, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, you're sounding harsh, and I'm really not trying to sound harsh. I'm just trying to say, hey guys, this is truth. This is reality. And so Solomon says, hey, I want you, listen, you have to gain understanding, and you have to gain wisdom, and you have to gain knowledge, but you have to gain all this to come to truth. And the Bible says that in the last days there'll be an ever gaining of knowledge, but never coming to the truth. Boy, if we don't live in that day, right? Schools, I mean, listen, we got more schools and colleges and all this stuff than Carter's got little liver pills. And for those who go way back, you understand what I'm saying. And yet, nobody's understanding truth. So many people are in denial of truth. And what I want you to see is Solomon, he is saying, hey guys, you need to listen to me. And you need to see what's going on, and I really want to help you. And in order for you to do that, you have to gain wisdom. And in order to gain wisdom, God says, remember last week we were talking about how God was shouting wisdom from the doorpost, God's shouting wisdom from the gates, God's shouting wisdom from the hilltop. God says, I got all this wisdom, and I want you to have it. But guys, we got to seek after it to receive it. You know, I mean, it's there for the gaining and for the learning and the growing, but if we don't go after it, we won't obtain it. And so Solomon says, hey, listen, I just want you to know, in verse Ecclesiastes, you don't have to go there, Ecclesiastes 1:17, he says, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. He's like, can you really understand it? But then he writes Proverbs chapter 8. And that is where we are going to go. So Proverbs chapter 8, if you will make sure that you are there, Proverbs chapter 8. And of course, 7 is the complete different picture of 8. Amen. 7 is the bad picture of without wisdom. 8 is a good picture with wisdom. And so if you want to understand the 2, just read those 2 chapters of Proverbs and you will be awakened to some good stuff. So in Proverbs, we're going to pick up Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. Last week I covered 1 through 11. This week we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. That word prudence literally in the Hebrew would mean shrewdness. And it's not a shrewdness like Satan is shrewd, you know, and he's deceitful and cunning. This is a shrewdness of intelligence and being sharp and being on top of things and understanding. And, you know, the Bible says that we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so it's being that, as being wise like a serpent in his shrewdness, but righteous and following God and being holy. So he says here, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. One of the things I was talking about earlier when I was talking about today's Christian is they don't hate evil. They're not hating evil today. Matter of fact, more Christians are entertaining evil like never before. I shared with you where they did a poll of Christians, and even evangelical conservative Christians, 32% of them still say it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. We're talking those who should have been standing up going, no. And they're going, yeah, this is all good. Catholicism, Catholics, 67% of them say it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. This poll was just taken last year. So you have, and I'm just talking to mainstream media or the 2 mainstream religions, if you will, right? But all of them go contrary to God, contrary to the Word of God. And God says here, listen, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear means the honor of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. Not to be afraid of him, but to honor him is to hate evil. And guys, the majority of Christians lack wisdom because they don't hate evil. They want to entertain both sides of the world. They want to feed the flesh over here and then come to church and be goody-goody over here and then look like we're fantastic to everybody down here. That's what's going on. And I'm just going to tell you, it's unacceptable. And for you younger generation, oh my goodness, my heart goes out to you. Most of you don't have parents that exemplify a moral standard, let alone a righteous standard. You are in a generation where the media has lied to you, leaders have lied to you, parents have lied to you, friends have lied to you, the church has lied to you. And listen, I'm going to tell you, anybody contrary to this, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. And guys, I'm going to tell you, we need wisdom like never before. And if we're going to have wisdom and we're going to live in righteousness and we're going to get evil out of our house, we got to take a stand. We got to take a stand. And I know earlier when I said gutless Christians, it's because the reason most Christians, true Christians, don't take a stand because they're afraid they might get uncomfortable and lose something. And so we make all these compromises. And God says, man, I'm tell you what. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. That doesn't just mean cursing. That means spewing things that are not godly. Spewing things that are not right. The perverse mouth. Sharing that which makes you feel good or makes someone else feel good, but it's completely wrong. I can't tell you how many conversations, even last week, conversations I had where people like, well, you know, Pastor, when I have to lie, did you catch that? When I have to lie, I do it to protect them. Well, you're lying to me. You don't do it to protect them. You do it to protect you. There's nobody here that lies to protect someone else. We lie because we want to protect us, and that and we think that by lying is going to protect that relationship. I was talking to someone last week. They come to church here, and they were sharing with me how a family member wanted them to lie for them. And they went, "I'm not going to do it." Well, then I'll disown you. I'd be like, "Bye," because you don't love me enough that you want to put me on the spot and lie for you. You should love me enough to say, "Hey, I respect where you're coming from." Right? But see, what's happened is, man, I'm telling you guys, as a society, as a whole, we have somewhere turned left. And I say left because left's crazy. Amen? Left is crazy. Oh, and I can prove to you left is crazy. Hold on a minute. Biblically, let me go there. See if my brain can remember. Oh, yeah. So real quick, you're in Proverbs chapter 8. Just hold that. Listen, this is all free today, right now. This is free. Go to Ecclesiastes, because we're going to be there eventually, but I might as well pull it out now and just have a little fun with it. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to start right there. Why not start in the beginning? Amen? And it's because I love the dead flies. Here we go. 10:1. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Oh, just what I was talking about. Amen? A little folly, a little lie, a little ungodliness, right? And then it goes on, though. Look at this, verse 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his... Just saying. Proverbs chapter 8, here we go. How many appreciate that? Say amen. 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 Here we go. Verse 4. Some of you ought to catch up here about time you get home. Here we go. Verse 14, chapter 8, Proverbs. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Guys, one of the things that I want you to see is that wisdom, number one, is mighty. Verse 15. Well, first off, 14. And by the way, we understand this wisdom is God's wisdom. And this could some people want to say this is a picture of Christ. I'm just going to say it's a picture of God. Jehovah. Jehovah is God. Jehovah is a supreme being. Now, one of the interesting things that I decided to do, because I'm a word freak, and so I thought, well, hey, let me look up Jehovah. I mean, I know what it means, but let me see what today's definition of Jehovah is. So I looked it back in the 1800s. I have an 1800s Webster dictionary. And in that dictionary, it says Jehovah, God, supreme being, as talked about in Exodus chapter 3. I went, whoa. That's Merriam-Webster dictionary. So then I looked up Merriam-Webster dictionary for today and their definition, and underneath of Jehovah, it says God, sense one, S-E-N-S-E, one. That's all it had under Jehovah, and then you click on it, and it comes up, and it says supreme being, and then the first one, it says Allah. Allah, the Hindu God, the Christian God. Let me help you just for a moment. Just for a moment. If you say God and the definition of God is supreme being, that means there can only be one. Supreme being, by definition, says there's only one that's the greatest and nobody else is even close. That means that either the God of the Bible is true and the supreme being, the real God, the creator of the universe, or Allah is true, or the Hindu God is true, or Buddha is true. There can only be one. One. Now, I'm going to help you out here because this I'm giving you wisdom and I'm giving you knowledge. What you do with it will be up to you. Hopefully you'll use this in your debating, because I know nobody in here is a gutless Christian. And so as you go out and you go talking to people, we understand that supreme being is, it means only one. It can only define one God. Amen. And if you read the Quran, the only God, or the only person, let me correct it the way it's written in the Quran. The only person in the Quran that created and gave life, breathed life into anything, was Jesus. Even in the Quran, the only problem is they have him creating a bird and breathing life into the bird in the Quran. But he's the only one that does it. Allah doesn't even give life. As a matter of fact, if you read all of the Quran, Allah takes life all throughout the Quran. Do for me or I'll kill you. Do for me or you'll die. Do for me or you'll die. And then you look up the God, the supreme being, God in our Bible, right? Amen. Our creator, we know the creator. He's the only one that gives life for life. Amen. So just a little, that was free too. Look, I'm in such a good mood today, I'm giving everything away. Here we go. So I want you to see, though, that when we look at the counsel of God in verse 14 and sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. This is all a picture of Jehovah. Verse 15, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. Let me just tell you that if you have God's wisdom, you are not a wimp. You're not a wimp. Most people think Christians are wimps. I don't know where they got that from. They hadn't talked to me. I'm just saying, right? One of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my entire life is walk the Christian walk. To walk the Christian walk means that you got to die to yourself every day. To walk the Christian life means that you got to put God first and surrender what you want. Listen, if you call yourself a Christian and you love God and you're living a sinful life, first off, you don't love God. Second, you're not exercising wisdom. And third, you're being a wimp. How many find it really hard sometimes to make that decision to walk with God? Well, I'm glad 8 of us do. The rest of you are sinners and liars. No, I'm kidding. Right? Because the truth is, guys, it is so hard. Okay, how many of you have ever got a thought in your brain and you pause just for a second, like, this isn't going to honor God, but then you blurt it out anyway? Same 8. The rest of you are still liars. Right? Because guys, listen, it is so hard to surrender and do what God tells us to do. And the reason it is hard is because you're not spending time with him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you'll love me, you'll do what I asked of you. If you'll love me, you'll be righteous. If you'll love me, you'll deny yourself that which is sinful and will destroy you. If you love me, then I'll love you. If you love me, oh, this is so good. Let me find my verse here. I gotta. John 14:21. In John 14:21, if you want to pull that up, John 14:21. Says, he who has my commandments. That means anyone who has this. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. That's the person. You know, when if you wonder if you love God, if you're wondering where you're at with God, guys, Jesus makes this so easy, amen? If you love me, you're the one that keeps my commandments, and that's how you know you love me. That's also how others know you love me. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by the Father in heaven. That's huge. And I will love him and do what? Manifest myself to him. If you're wondering why you're not seeing God, how many times do you, I know, so many people, same eight, I'm not going to play that game no more. If you ever wonder, why is it that, oh, that person's walking so close to God, and man, I want to be there. Why don't I ever hear God talk? Why don't I ever sense God's direction? Why don't I ever, well, here's my question. Are you loving him so that he'll manifest himself to you? Or are you loving you that you don't see him? And listen, if you're loving you so much so, Jesus isn't going to manifest himself to you because you are pushing him away. That's the problem, guys. Listen, God is not the problem. The Father's love is not the problem. The Father's love is reckless, like they were singing earlier. God says, man, I love you so much, I won't withhold anything from getting you to me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give my only son, who is absolutely perfect, flawless, and does not deserve death. You deserve death, but I'm going to send my son, let him die for you, so that you can be a part of me. That's what God does, man. He is reckless with his love. Reckless being that nothing's going to get in the way of him coming after us. So if you don't experience God, or if you're wondering where is God, if you keep asking yourself, why isn't God answering my prayers? Why? I don't ever see God like they see God. He says he talks to God and God talks to him, right? I've used the term, and you got to be careful, like they call it Christianese. Well, praise God, I'm still going to speak it. But where I say, yeah, man, listen, God called me here. What do you do, call you on the phone? Yes. No, he didn't. But you know what I'm saying. Right? No, God, the idea is God is wooing you. He's drawing you. And then it's up to us to surrender. How many times has God wooed you or drawed you or pulled you close to him and you were like, you're getting in the way because now you're making me feel, you know, well, it's called conviction, but somehow we've changed the word to you're making me feel guilty. Right? And I'm not guilty. I'm delivered through the blood. Now you're guilty. You're guilty, right? Just because you're delivered doesn't mean you're not guilty. It just means God paid the price rather than letting us pay the price, which we really deserved. And so I just want you to know that if you want God to manifest himself to you and in your life, you got to stop serving you and start serving him. That's the key. That is the key. And of course, I know this doesn't belong to anybody in here, because everybody in here, man, you guys are rocking it out. That's to everybody outside that didn't make it to church today. But I'm just saying, right? And so one of the things that I want you to see is that God loves us, God desires to be with us, and man, when we desire him, he responds in a greater way than we can even imagine. Verse 15, kings reign, rulers decree justice. Verse 16, by me, princes rule, nobles, all the judges of the earth. Listen, to finish up that last one, man, if you follow God, you'll be stronger than you've ever been, not just for you, but for everyone around you. Verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Guys, that's a promise. That's a promise. The problem is people aren't diligently searching for God. Holy Christians on Sunday and just a holy mess afterwards, right on Monday. They're just not seeking. Listen, I'm telling you, God made all these promises. We saw it in John. We see it here. I can give you verse after verse after verse where God says, man, if you come after me, I will come after you. If you love me, I will love you. The if is there. And for some reason, somehow, some way, the world has lied to you. Remember earlier I said the young people have been lied to like unbelievable? God loves you just the way you are. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. God loves you, but he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. God says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? And then what's he want to do? He wants to grow us. He wants to get us to the next level, and then get us to the next level, and then get us to the next level. That's what he wants. God never wants us to stay the same, because listen, when we quit growing, we start dying. Listen, there is no neutral. There is no neutral. Even in a car, if you put it in neutral, if it's on a hill, it's going to go one way or the other. And if it's on level ground, it's anticipating going one way or the other. There's no neutral. You are either living or you are dying. You are either growing or you're backing up. And so many people are just content with neutral, thinking that it's okay. Well, you know what we call neutral? We call it riding the fence. And you know who owns the fence? Satan. There's no neutral, guys. We can't just stay in one spot. And so if you want God, you got to go after God. But he says, listen, I'll be there. I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently. That's the key. The key is, guys, that it's never ending. We don't stop. We don't stop. We don't stop. We keep seeking after God, searching after God, surrendering to him and denying ourselves that which that we want and giving to God what he tells us to give to him. And then, boy, when that happens, God says, I will show you things that will light you up. And we don't do it. I don't know why. I don't know why. For some reason, we think, oh, I'll show you God. God's like, yeah, you will. And I'm going to show you. All right, here we go. Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Now, here's the interesting thing. God says, riches and honor are with me. If you want riches and you want honor, then you got to go where it's at, and that's with God. Now, you can get riches on the earth, but you may not have honor. And God says, it's with me. But here's the key that a lot of people miss. See, we like to pick out good little morsels, right? It's kind of like the buffet. How many like buffets? You go to the buffet, and what do? You're like, leave the pork chops, because I got steak on here tonight. I ain't eating that pork chops. Right? Shrimp, lobster. Yep, we're gonna leave that fake crabs. We're going to go for the lobster. We do the same thing with the Word of God. We treat it like a buffet. And we take and we eat what we can digest and we leave the rest. It's what we do. And when we do that, we miss it. Like, we miss it big time, guys. Look at this. I want you to see in verse 18, riches and honor are with me. If we stop there, then we'd go, okay, we know that riches and honor is with God, but that's not always true, because you know what the truth is? I can get a lot of riches here on earth, money-wise. But God's not talking just money-wise. But then look what he says here. This is the key. The next word is the key, guys, that separates God from everything else. Enduring riches. They never fade away. They never fade away. You know how some of you are on an emotional roller coaster. Whoo, 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 right? I've met with some of you, and I've told you, you got to get off this roller coaster, and you got to get on the whoop-de-doos. Right? So at least you're a little more level going through life. I mean, because this up here just scares people. Right? It scares you, too, if you're going to be honest. You're like, whoo, I feel great today. Oh, man, somebody shoot me. It's like we go up and down, right? And I'm just going to tell you, it's because when we do our own, it's not enduring. Man, it comes and goes. It floats. Man, we get up in the morning and we're like, this is the best day of my life. I can feel it. And you go outside and you get hit by a car. It wasn't the best day of your life, right? And so here, though, God says that his honor and his riches are enduring. They don't go anywhere. They last and last and last. And guys, that's what we want, right? Because I don't know about you, but this up and down, man, it drives me crazy. Amen? Yesterday was one of my worst days ever. I even told my wife, I said, man, this is one of the worst days I can ever remember. Like, I wasn't even kidding. It was bad. I got up. I had a migraine. Well, I say I got up. I had like 2 hours sleep. Got up, had a migraine. And I just felt disconnected from me all day yesterday. Anybody ever, like, you can't focus, you can't form a thought. You know you got to do something, but since you can't get it in your brain, you don't do it. So you just kind of linger around. Then you're mad because you lingered around and didn't get it done, and the headache is still there. And then you're like, oh, dear Jesus, just take me home now. And then he doesn't, so now you're even more upset because you still got to deal with all the junk that you should have dealt with, but you didn't deal with it because you couldn't focus on dealing with it, and then just train. How many been there? That was me yesterday. And I was like, oh my goodness. I told Sherry, I said, man, I am glad that this only comes about once in a lifetime, because I couldn't stand to ride this ride every day. It'll wear me out. And yet some of you choose to ride this ride every day. And God says, listen, what I want to give you is enduring. And if you come after my wisdom and you come after me and you come after what I want for you, man, listen, it is going to be good. My love for you is intimate. We see that in verse 17. We also see that we prosper here in 18 with the riches and honor that God wants to give us, right? And it's enduring riches and righteousness. So we know it's good, it's solid, man. It's exactly what God would have us to have. And then we see in 19, guys, it's fruitful to follow God. It's beneficial, incredibly beneficial. Look here in 19. My fruit, this the fruit of wisdom. The reward of wisdom, the reward of following God, the benefits of being godly, the benefits of allowing God to have control of your life rather than you having control of your life. He says, it's fruitful. Not only is it fruitful or beneficial, look at this, it's better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Man, listen, Solomon is really letting us know it's not only better than gold, because like how many here, we like money? I like money. Right? I didn't say love. I said like. It's fair. Even the eight bailed out on me on that one. But listen, the fine, everybody's like, man, I ain't even put myself out there on that one. God says, man, my wisdom is fruitful. Not only is it fruitful and beneficial, it's better than gold. It's better than fine gold, the purest of pure gold. And what's more valuable on earth than pure gold? Nothing. Now, if we're just looking at monetary things, there's nothing better than that. And yet God says his wisdom, the fruit of his wisdom, the benefits of his wisdom, the value of his wisdom far exceeds anything you can get on earth. And yet we'll still sacrifice it for the nothing, for the moment, for the loss. We'll still sacrifice it at the cost of satisfying that moment in the flesh. How many of you, whatever sin it is of the flesh, of course, nobody will raise their hand on this one, I know. I'm in all by myself. And so we'll just pretend the cheesecake. How many like cheesecake? Right? Huh? Some of you are lusting already. It's lunchtime. Hurry up, Pastor. Chocolate. How many like chocolate? I'll get a few more in here, right? And then we look at it and we go, oh, how about ice cream? That's what I'm talking about. So we went out on a motorcycle ride yesterday and Friday, whatever day it was, I don't know. And it was Sherry and I and Buck and Brenda. We jumped on the motorcycle. And if you have one, you're free to join us. If not, you can't keep up, so stay home. All right, so anyway, So we go out riding, and it's a beautiful day, and we're coming home. Well, now it's toward the evening. It's getting the dark. The sun's starting to go down. And so now it's like 52 degrees outside, and we hadn't had dessert from dinner. We had dinner a little while ago, and so we got to have dessert. Well, I knew where DQ was, so where are we going? DQ, got to get ice cream. Because then you can get your cheesecake in there. You can get anything you want in that dessert. And so we stopped at DQ, and we were eating ice cream. Now, I can put down some ice cream. Some people get brain freezes. I say you got to have a brain freeze so I don't have that problem. And so, I mean, I eat mine up, no problem. Sherry, she eats like a woman, you know, and Brenda, she's, but I look over at Brenda and I'm going, Brenda, are your lips purple? It was so cold outside. And we're on the motorcycle and we're eating ice cream. I'm praising Jesus, but not everybody's praising Jesus, right? And I look and I'm like, they're straight up the color of these chairs. And she's going, yeah, I know. She was off. At any rate, I even forgot where I was going. I hung in that story too long. Here we go. Enduring riches and righteousness, right? Verse, the fruit is better than gold, right? And better than fine gold. And then he says this. And my revenue than choice silver. The payout that we get from God's wisdom is better than anything you're going to get out of gold or silver. And guys, as long as we keep holding on to our thoughts, our desires, our way, we're going to pay a heavy price. We're going to pay a heavy price. One of the prices we're going to pay is we'll be miserable. And then when we're miserable, of course, what do we know about misery? Love's company. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to be like, oh, I'm miserable. You're going to join me. You just don't know it yet. Isn't that what misery does? Yeah, nobody, man, everybody bailed out on me. But that's what happens, amen? And God's like, listen, that's not what I want for you. And that's not what I want for you to give someone else. By the way, if you're making them miserable, you can't tell them about Jesus. And if you can't tell them about Jesus, you're ungodly. And if you're ungodly, then my love's not in you, and you're not loving me. See how it's like this human hamster wheel? If we get on it and we're on the wrong one, it's just a bad day all the way around. And God says, listen, I just want you to know that my payout is better than gold and silver. But if you keep choosing to have it your way, it's worse than a burnt burger at Burger King. It's bad. Or the veggie burger. How many have had the veggie burger? Was it any good? Yeah. Yeah, lies. You're all liars. We established that in the beginning. You're all liars. All right, here we go. Oh, my goodness. Verse 20. If I don't get going, this ain't going to happen. All right, here we go. Verse 20. God's wisdom gives us direction. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Guys, God will give us direction. Have you ever stopped to get direction from someone and they say, hey, you go up here, you turn right, turn left, do this and do that. And then you pull away and you're like, that dude's nuts. I'm going to go this way. Only to find another gas station to find someone that's nuts that tells you to turn around and go back the way you just came. And then when you see the old oak tree that burnt down 50 years ago, turn left right there. We treat God the same way. We treat God the same way. God will put someone in our path to say, hey, listen, you need to hear this. Hey, God wants you to know. And then whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent, right? And if it's not what we like, what do we do with it? Throw it out. We throw it out. And then when everything goes bad, we're like, God, where were you? How many have heard of the man that he had a house and a flood was coming? And so he couldn't escape his house. And he looks outside, and the floodwaters are coming. And so he realizes that it's up to the front porch now. So he goes up to the second story, and he's looking out the windows. And the water's rising, and it's just like about 6 inches from below the second story window, about to come into the second story. He's like, oh, my goodness. And so he jumps out of there, and he goes up onto the rooftop. And the water's rising, and here comes a boat. Because he's praying, God, God, save me, God, save me. And so a boat comes along, and the guy's like, get in, get in. And he says, no, God's going to save me. And so the boat takes off. Well, Now the water is at the gutter. And he's up on the roof and he's looking, and here comes another boat. Get in, get in. No, God's going to save me. And the boat takes off. Guy drowns. Oh, actually, not yet. Water's rising up. He's at the chimney now. He's on top of the chimney, and the water's completely covered all the asphalt. And a helicopter comes, drops a ladder down. The pilot yells down, "Grab hold of the ladder." The guy looks up. "No, God's going to save me." Helicopter flies away. The guy drowns, dies, gets to heaven. "God, I thought you were going to save me." God said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want?" Some of you heard it. Anyway, listen, I just want you to know, that God's protection, God's direction, God takes care of us. God says, listen, I want you to know that those who seek after me, man, I'm going to bless, I'm going to deliver, I'm going to help, I'm going to raise up, I'm going to strengthen. And we're like the guy on that rooftop that drowns when he's like, "Oh, nope, that's not the way I see God coming. Nope, that's not the way I see God coming. That's definitely not the way I seen God coming." And then we die in our own way. Guys, sometimes you got to acknowledge what's of God. And the only way we can acknowledge what's of God is if we spend time with God, right? The one who loves me. Well, the only way you can love God is spend time. How many here, you are in love? Three? I'm not setting you up. I'm asking you a question. So even husband and wife's like, "I ain't playing this, man." He's... Husbands, that was your moment to really score, and you blew it. We're going to try it again just because. I couldn't believe everybody. Look, one guy even went, "Nope, sitting on him." I'm kidding. They didn't do that. Not that I saw. How many here are in love? How many here, you're in love with the person that's sitting next to you and they know you love them? See, I was trying to help you out, right? Do you know how we love people? We get to know them. Amen? Why do you love the person you're with? Well, you got to know them. That, or you just looked in their eyes and you melted. I don't know. But we typically love the people that we spend time with. Amen? And if we're not spending time with one another, what happens? We start, right? Listen, the separation started when you quit. You could have been in the same room, but if you're not loving on one another, the separation already starts. And these people are going, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I fell in love." No, you didn't. You fall in holes. You fall off cliffs. You fall out of trees, and you can fall into a pool. But love is a decision. And if you miss the decision, you weren't in love, you were lusting. And you're like, oh, no, oh, yeah, hold on. When the honeymoon's over, we'll see who's still holding hands and who isn't. Amen? And I'm just going to tell you, the reason that you love the person that you're with is because you spend time with them. And when you quit spending time with them, you'll stop loving them. Oh, you might not have the courage to say it, but you'd be like, one goes, "I love you." Mm-hmm. That's trouble right there. I'm telling you, that's trouble right there. You better stop everything you're doing and you better go, "Look at me. It's time we go on a date now. Let's go." Start spending time. Hey, young folks, listen, if you're in love, how many here just got married in the last year? 2 years? Yeah. Yeah, I hope you better be holding hands and lovey-dovey. Because if you're not doing that, guess what's going to be happening? You're going to be calling me for counseling, and then after counseling, you won't listen to what I got to say because you won't listen to what God's got to say, and you'll tell me, "God told me to get a divorce." And I'll say, "You're a liar," which we established in the beginning. I'm just saying, guys, if you want If you want to love God and you want God to love you, it takes time. You have to spend time with Him. And you have to be silent and let Him spend time with you. You have to be still. Remember, He says, be still and know that I am God. One of the issues with people today, we don't know how to be still. Wednesday, we're showing a video. Man, you need to be here. Everyone in this room needs to be here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and we will start that video. We're going to open up, Dear Jesus, bless this hour and a half, amen, amen, and then we're going to get started. We don't have time for much of anything else. And we're going to show a video Wednesday night on how those who are building these electronic platforms and social media, they have designed them to absolutely drain you of your time. You get on social media, you're like, oh, okay, I got hour and a half before bed. All right, let me check that. And then your spouse comes out and goes, you going to work this morning? You know what I'm saying? Some of you are spending hours and hours and hours and hours. I gave up Facebook probably a month or about a month now, right? Man, I'm praising Jesus. I don't miss it. I told my wife, I got my life back. You can have me again. Amen? I'm just saying, guys, listen, because I got in there, I got all crazy on this political train wreck that we have in America. And I want everybody to know the truth. I'm like, pew, 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 pew. And I started getting hate messages. They're like, I can't respond on your page because I'm not your friend, but I hope you die. I hope. And then I'm like, is it that bad? So then I started going back and I'm like, oh, they're in denial. My page isn't that bad. But you know what? I don't want to die, so I'm going to get off of this thing. It was horrible. It was horrible. And I praise Jesus, right? Because here's what it did. It gave me more time with my wife. It gave me more time with God. It gave me a better attitude. It gave me less anxiety. I never thought I got anxiety, but I was noticing it was altering my moods. Anybody else? Or am I all alone? I got 8 new people. Amen. All right. I'm just saying it does. So come Wednesday night and you listen to watch this video that we're going to show, and it explains exactly how they have it programmed to destroy your life. And we're talking not just people who have investigated it. These are the guys and ladies who created the programs, who were the CEOs and said, man, we did this and we thought it was for good, and we found out they used it for evil and they bailed out, but they couldn't take it with them. Listen, I'm telling you, it's a great plug. Cost is free. Come on, Wednesday. Here we go. And so we see that God gives us a sense of direction. And if we spend time with Him, and if we get rid of everything else, He says, listen, man, I will put into your life that which is good. I will satisfy you. I will fulfill you. And then we see that there is an inheritance. God says in verse 21, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. If you stop loving you and start loving God, now I know that's contrary to what the world says, but the world is silly. If you stop loving you and start loving God, God says, I'll give you wealth. I'll give you exactly what you're looking for. Solomon, he promised Solomon. So God asked Solomon, what do you want? Solomon said, I just want wisdom on how to lead your people because I can't do this without you. And God says, man, not only will I honor that request, but man, I will give you wealth beyond measure. But then he got all caught up and his head got all big and he got lost and forgot about God, and then he ends up writing Proverbs. And Ecclesiastes. And God says, listen to me. If you quit loving you and you seek after my wisdom, you seek after me, I will give you wealth. Not only will I give you wealth, but also fill up your treasuries. There's an implication that it's not just money, guys. This wealth is full satisfaction. You get off of this roller coaster and you start getting on the whoop-de-doos. You even out. You get off the crazy train. And then God starts blessing you, and these money problems you have, guess what? They're going to go away. And he's going to fill your treasuries and all that things that you want. He gives us the desires of our heart. And the reason he gives us the desires of our heart is because our desire is his heart. That's how it works. And so as we look in this and we look at the wisdom of God, I want you to see in 12 through 21 that God will empower us. You won't be a wimp. That God will give us mighty, he'll give us wisdom beyond what we can even think. In 17 through 21, there's loving intimacy in what is true and sincere. And so, guys, if you're true and sincere with God, he's going to be intimate with you. And so when you say, God, talk to me, man, God's legit talking to you. You'll know it. His voice is unmistakable. In verse 18, there's prosperity. Man, God will bless you with riches, and not just riches, but enduring riches, that which will never go away. In verse 19 is fruitfulness, and his fruit, that is that riches that he gives you in verse 18, is better than gold, fine gold, and silver. And then in verse 20, he'll give you direction. If you're lost, if you're struggling, quit feeding you and start seeking after God. Quit taking care of your desires. If you're miserable, it's because you aren't looking at him. You're looking at you. That's just bottom line. I mean, a lot of people don't like to hear, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. I do understand what self-sabotage looks like. And since you won't let go of that which wrecks you every day, you can't grab a hold of that which delivers you. There's over in Africa, they try to catch these little monkeys, and they're just little things. I can't remember the name of them. But in order to catch them, because they're fast and they're difficult to get a hold of, what they would do back in the old days is they would take this jug, and they'd put a small hole in the side, and they would put fruit in there. And so the monkey would come in, and his hand would fit in it, and he'd reach in, and he'd grab the fruit. And as soon as he reached in, they'd run up on the monkey to get him. And the monkey, they'd catch him every time. Because the problem is, they wouldn't let go of the fruit. They would fight and fight, but as long as they had that fruit in their hand, there was a fist, and they couldn't get their hand, and they got caught. Whereas if they just let go of what they wanted, the way they wanted it, they could have pulled their hand right back out and escaped. And I'm telling you, a lot of us in this room and outside of this room, we don't want to let go of what we think we want or what we think is right. And we're the monkey. And Satan uses the bait, and we reach in there and we refuse to let go of it because our pride gets in the way. We're going to get it our way, do it our way. How's that working out for you? And so we don't let go. Next thing you know, man, Satan has us. Holding on to something that's just going to rot anyway. It ain't even going to make two hoots of a difference. And I just want you to know that God says in verse 21, I'm going to give you an inheritance. I'm going to give you inheritance that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And so, guys, you have to let go of what it is you're after. You have to let go of anything that's getting in the way between you and God. And even if that's you got to learn to discipline yourself, to love the Lord, to seek after his face, to do that which is right in his eyes, not your eyes. Quit being so selfish. Quit being so arrogant. Quit being so prideful and do it God's way. And I promise you, you'll get off of that roller coaster and life will be well and you'll quit being miserable and you'll quit bringing others on board with you. It's all in the wisdom of God. The question is, where are you at today? You know in your heart where you're at. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you are the selfish one, man, you're all about you, all about what you want, and you are refusing to give it to God. You are refusing to let go. Let me tell you something. You are living in Satan's world and not God's world, and you do not have the wisdom of God. Therefore, you will not have the deliverance of God. But if you're here today, some of you may not even know God. If you don't know God, you experience none of this from God. God only blesses his family. God only reaches out. All this is only a promise to those who love him. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you don't know God. And if you think you do, you've been deceived by the devil. And I want to give you an opportunity to fix that. And so the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. God the Father says, I sent my son Jesus to die for you, that through him and only through him can you get to me. If you're here today and you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, it's real easy if you're willing to die to yourself. God said, for whosoever believes on the name of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he conquered death and hell, he's at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, the Bible says that you're born again. I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer. The words aren't magical. They are not magical. The prayer is just kind of a roadmap to help guide you through so you have clear understanding. The prayer is just gives you a timestamp where you go, nope, this was the day that I absolutely, on purpose, made a decision for Jesus. So if you pray this prayer and you didn't mean it in your heart, you're not saved. I just want you to know right up front, the prayer is not magic. Did you believe with your heart? So if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. I surrender all to you. Today I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Man, I have done wrong. I have went against that which the Bible teaches. And today I repent of all that sin. I'm not going to go that way anymore. God, I'm going to go your way. I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Wash me white as snow. Today my life is yours. And I am going to do all I can to walk in the wisdom of chapter 8. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, and that is the only reason that I can get to heaven is through you, and I know that.